This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we hit to hour number two. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Normally on Mondays, we go through NFL. We did so in hour one. I usually save a lot of the college stuff for Tuesday because usually we're just loaded with storylines from the Sunday in the NFL and then looking ahead to Monday Night Football. But Colorado has changed that a bit because there is a larger narrative that is going on with the Buffaloes than just a win-loss record. There is a larger issue when it comes to Deion Sanders that is his haters and his detractors to the people who support him and love him for what he's trying to build in Boulder. And naturally, it's becoming one of those sort of topics that generally divides people. And of course, it gets personal and personal the more the people ratchet up their sort of opinion on Deion Sanders, whether you love him or dislike the way or what he is doing in Colorado. Leading into the game against Oregon, Colorado was 3-0, and they were ranked 19th in the country. And they were facing an Oregon team that was led by Bo Nix, who's a Heisman quarterback contender, like Shador Sanders was at Buffalo with the Buffaloes. And Oregon was ranked 10th in the country. They put up a lot of points. They're well coached. They've got a great recruiting class, and they've got great athletes. And Colorado has been a team where they go on the road and they beat TCU, a number 17 team in the country, played in the national championship game the year before, albeit most of the players that led them to that title were no longer on the Horned Frogs team. Then they beat Nebraska, that's rebuilding and had a brand new coach like the Buffaloes in Matt Rhule. And then they beat Colorado State, an in-state rival that won three games prior last year and did not have the same level of recruits that Colorado had. But everybody in the media had been taking Colorado and just ramping up their success, ramping it up, putting it on blast, and giving them all sorts of love and attention. And when you do that, sometimes the devil in the details get lost. And all of a sudden, you've got pundits like Mad Dog Russo on ESPN saying that he was going to take a piece of gummy, take it, relax, and bet $10,000 on the Buffaloes to beat Oregon. Now, I said last week, I think the media is at fault here. I think the media took Colorado's win against Colorado State and treated it as if they had beaten Georgia. They beat Colorado State, not a good football team. And yet Colorado State came to play. And yes, it was impressive to watch Shador Sanders go 98 yards against a prevent defense and a team that is not loaded with the level of talent, but it wasn't good enough to think that this team could be competitive with Oregon. This outcome on Saturday was not surprising to me, and it shouldn't have been surprising to anybody. Colorado is rebuilding its program. It went one win last season. They fired not only the coaching staff, but Deion fired all of the kids that were on that one-win team. He brought in a huge collection of talent, but the idea that they could go to Autzen Stadium and beat Oregon because we like the way Deion talks was crazy. Caleb Williams in USC would have a hard time going to Autzen Stadium and beating Oregon. Autzen Stadium is one of the toughest places to play in college football. If you don't know about it because you don't live in the western part of the United States, it is a stadium that traps in noise. It's one of the loudest environments in college football. Colorado was a team riding the wave of its coach, not its results. Because its results weren't that good. Their defense was terrible. And without Travis Hunter, the idea that, again, that Deion could just talk his way into a victory is crazy. I'm not blaming Deion or the Buffaloes for this loss. I like the way Deion handled the loss. I'm blaming the media. I'm blaming everybody that wanted to be a part of this in a different way than just covering it. My biggest complaint about the Buffaloes is how they have been reported on. I am watching good people lose their journalistic ethics over this guy. It's mind-numbing to me. Again, I understand the incitement about calling a game, for example, that has Deion Sanders on the sidelines, especially if you're a guy in your 40s, maybe early 50s, and the only thing you know in your life is Deion Sanders, from his college days to his NFL days to his Major League Baseball days to his Hall of Fame speech to his broadcasting on TV and now a coach in football. He has never left. He didn't disappear. He didn't go away for a long period of time. He's been in your life for a long period of time, and it's intoxicating to be on that team. I don't mind. Listen, I have this problem, and again, I'm willing to admit it. You can call me old-fashioned. I get it. I may not be as hip. I don't like it when reporters call him Coach Prime. I don't like it. It should be Coach Sanders. Coach Prime is a nickname. It is a nickname. It's a marketing tool that he uses to sell stuff. Media should not be in the business of promoting a marketing gimmick. You call the person by their name. That's how you remain professional. If you had a president of the United States that said, "Call me Superman," you shouldn't call him Superman just to be on his good side. You say, "President Smith. I'm sorry, but if you want to use Superman for some other thing, my organization is not going to be part of that."
You are 1,000% right. And I'm wondering, because Joe Tessitore, that's all he referred to him
all as. He did. And this is my complaint. If you want to do a line, like as a promotional line, I get it. If you want to go and we'll have kickoff, it's prime time with Coach Prime. If you want to do that, that's fine. That's a way to sort of promote your broadcast. But him and Jesse Palmer were having legitimate conversations about the strategical elements of the game in which they were incorporating this guy's nickname into the conversation.
Well, they just kept saying it.
All the time. Tessitore would tell you.
Go ahead. I was saying, not once did they ever use the words Deion or Sanders.
Right. Tessitore would tell Palmer, "It seems to me what Coach Prime is lacking here is," and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
So the only thought I can go through was this. One was, is the four-letter pushing this agenda.
It's very possible.
Or the other thing was, are they trying to sound cool?
Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the case. By the way, Tessitore, as I put out on Twitter, he's the syrupy broadcaster that was perfect for that game.
Mm-hmm.
He's very hyperbolic. Everything is on another level. That's one of the reasons he didn't work on Monday Night Football, because people were really tired of sort of the syrup that he would pour on every single game. He was perfect for what, if that's what ESPN/ABC wanted for that game, which was a syrupy Coach Prime, prime time, all day prime. It's more prime than you can handle. He was the right guy for that. He was the right guy for that. But, I mean, Jesse Palmer is like, Coach Prime needs to consider going to a punt here. Stop it. That is just you adding to the thing he's using to sell us almonds and insurance and anything else that he's selling us. That is the character he created. He admitted that he created this character. He has said for decades, there is Deion Sanders and there is primetime, and they are two separate things. He has said it over and over, over and over again. And yet the media can't help itself. It can't help itself. So here's what happens, and this is the larger point. So again, I can complain about this, and I know it's not going anywhere, so fine. But here's why it becomes a problem. This Colorado Buffalo team, right, beat an overvalued TCU team. That's still a very good win. That's still a very good win. A Nebraska team that couldn't get out of its own way, that's rebuilding, and a Colorado State team that's terrible. Okay?
But
everybody in the country should have said, look, we get it. You're building a program. You've already won more games than last year. It's about the long haul. You're not going to go to Oregon and beat Oregon, but you know what? It's okay. You can't turn this around overnight. It's not how it works. But they didn't. They believed he could win there because he says sayings and slogans and ain't hard to find and we're coming. We're already here and you can't, it's personal and you can't handle us and you can't, we're all over the place and all of these things. And that's the media's fault. The media told the country that Colorado was on the equal level as Oregon, a team that has been prominent in college football for 20 years. And they said, no, these are two equal programs.
Mm-hmm.
These are two equal. Look, guys, ignore the numbers. Ignore number 10 versus number 19. These are two equally balanced football teams. And oh, by the way, without its best two-way player, Colorado is still equal to Oregon. What in the world were we doing? We failed the American public. Because here's why it matters. I like Dion. I'm going to make this clear. I like Dion and I like what he's doing at Colorado. That is a school that I've said many times I've got a personal attachment to. I'm very happy that that school is getting better at football. Here's why it matters. Because as soon as you see 42-6, as soon as you watch that game and realize, holy cow, Oregon is exponentially better than Colorado, it becomes, oh, well, this is a joke. What was I doing with this? What happened? What happened to Dion and Dion? Dion gets it.
Not only
Dion
that,
gets it.
The thing that bothers, it doesn't bother me, but the thing people should realize too, 42-6 doesn't even tell the story.
It does not even come close to the
because,
story.
Because, first of all, that six was just like, we don't care.
Right.
You know, that was Oregon just saying, we're done. We came for what we needed to do, or we got the result that we needed. Go ahead and get your six. I don't care.
We got the good, the bad coming up, and I want to revisit this because we're going to hear from Dion and what he said afterwards. But I think really, it's not Dion's bravado. It was the media's bravado in pumping Dion up so much to get on his good graces. We'll have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We just finished week 4 in college football, week 3 in the NFL. Good, bad, dumb, but is it the good of the day? The good of the day, my friend.
I could have gone anywhere. I mean, we had so much good in college football, so much good in the NFL, but I decided to go to baseball.
Okay.
And just highlight something special that's definitely getting passed over and no one's paying any attention to. And that's the fact that we now have an only member, Ronald Acuna, in the 40-60 club.
All right, very good.
So he belted his 40th home run Friday night, putting him in the 40-40 club, which joins 5 other people. And I remember the first time that ever happened was such a huge deal.
That was a major deal.
And
yeah.
Most of those guys were on steroids.
Right.
Now they come to find out. But he is, in fact, not only in the 40-40 club, but he is in the 40-50, 40-60. And as one writer put it, could end up in the 40-70 club by the time it's all said and done.
That's my, listen, I'm going on a limb here, but the Atlanta Braves, I'm picking them to win the World Series. I know it's a gamble. I know it's a risk.
It's a risk.
Now, they're really good. They are really good.
And he's
good.
Doing this, and he's hitting almost 340
yeah.
at the same time. So,
And you got Matt Olson leading the majors in home runs, and they're fantastic.
Yeah, that's
they
isn't that
really
the thing.
Good.
I mean, he's not even Ronald Acuña only has 40 home runs.
That's
he's
right.
Not even leading the team.
That's right. That's the one thing they do. They can hit home runs. Marcelo Zuna too. He hits a bunch of home runs.
Yeah,
and they got Spencer Strider and on the pitching.
I know we talked about it once, but they haven't broken the record yet, right?
No, I don't think they have. That was set by the Twins a couple years ago. Yeah, I don't think they have yet. I'll have to double check, though.
I know.
Usually I tend to lose track of baseball
that's
during the weekend, and then
up.
I go, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, that's happening.
Here's the bad part of it all, too. I mean, it's not the bad of the day. It's just the bad part of this. I don't know who's in the playoffs.
Yeah. You're gonna have to go to the standings and figure
right.
it out. Listen, is it good that the Yankees were eliminated from the postseason yesterday officially?
I think so.
I think so. I think America's like, good. Yeah. Yankees and the Red Sox in the bottom part of the AL East.
Yeah, we can
good.
Stop talking about them now.
Yeah, be done. Disappear, both of you. No more Sunday night baseball schedules.
Yeah. I mean, you know, another team that, I mean, we haven't, I guess no one's really talked about, but it's kind of shocking that they're eliminated too, is the Cardinals.
Cardinals, yeah. They went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Had a lousy season.
And have probably the best corner infielders on the planet.
Yeah, they're crazy. It's crazy.
And they're eliminated.
They are eliminated. The Orioles and Rays still duking it out, 2.5 games back there. Minnesota clinched the Central, Texas, Houston, and Seattle. That's been awesome, but it's there's a little bit of separation now. Houston kind of blew it this weekend.
Yeah.
And then the Braves, of course, have the best record in baseball. They've got 100 wins. Milwaukee clinched the Central. The Dodgers clinched the West. And then you've got, like, the Cubs, the Reds, the Phillies, the Marlins, the Diamondbacks. They're all fighting for prominence in the wild card standings.
And here's the crazy thing. Like I said, would you even have known?
That's right.
That's how much football takes over. You have exciting, really exciting races going on in baseball right now.
I know.
This National League wild card thing is I mean, everyone's like, you know, tied with each other. Yeah, the AL West, just, you know, all of them kind of, you know, I mean, just duking it out. I mean, one team's winning, one team's losing, and it just keeps going back and forth. And we care more about, the Dolphins blew out the Broncos.
Exactly.
It wasn't even entertaining, except that you like touchdowns.
We'll see next month when we get the playoffs, because it does, people do pay attention to the postseason. Yeah. But you're right, the races, I think it's a little bit, this is one of the reasons why they wanted to expand it, was they wanted to be like, look, the more cities that we can have in the races, the more it is going to lead or be part of the coverage. Like if you're a news broadcaster, let's say in Pittsburgh, you know, you're leading with the Steelers. You might even bring up Pitt. You might even bring up something else. And then you go, oh, yeah, by the way, the Pirates, they're wrapping up their series with so-and-so, and they're 25 games out of first place. So they're not, you know, see, but if you allow the expansion of the wild card, now all of a sudden people in Cincinnati are like, yeah, the Reds are still in this thing. The Cubs are still in this thing. Like you're bringing in a bunch of cities that are all vying for position. And now you're going to be like, hey, it may not be the lead dog on a football Sunday, but at least we can be the second story rather than recapping college from 24 hours ago. And then I think that's a good thing for baseball. But you got to be careful because you can't have everybody involved. You can't throw everybody into the mix.
Yeah, it can't be the NBA.
Right, it can't be the NBA. So there's just a little tiny, like, you got a little too much salt or just enough seasoning, either way. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day has got to go to the Jets ground crew.
The Jets ground crew.
Yes. So the Jets ground crew is in charge of painting the end zones and painting the logo onto the turf field. And you know, I don't know if they waited till the very last possible second to paint the white part of the logo in the center or the white Jets in the end zone, because that paint was not dry at all.
Oh,
and there
man.
Were footprints everywhere. Sloppy.
Was the weather have anything to do with that? Because it was kind of yucky out.
I mean, possibly, but...
Is it possible? Like, you just couldn't dry?
Doesn't everyone else... I mean, I've never really seen that happen before.
No.
I see the uniforms get it all the time.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine. You know, you see, if you're wearing a white jersey and you're playing against the Chiefs, your jersey's going to end up being a tint of red at some point. That just happens. But it's just footprints. It's just people walking around in the end zone and just...
So I got a question. So if you are a team that has a stadium where you're the only football team there, do you have to repaint it all the time?
That's a great question. Maybe you have to touch it up.
You have to touch it up a little bit because you do want to make it look sharp on TV.
Yeah.
Or like if you obviously in a multi-purpose stadium, you're like, well, we got to clean it up, put the Giants down, and then whatnot. Friday night, I did a football game at a school that had artificial turf.
Okay.
And I'm not a big artificial turf versus natural grass guy. I think natural grass should be it. But so this is a high school game. And I went, this is great. Like there's no cleats all over the place. Like by the time you play a game, sometimes the field is so wrecked. You can't even tell the line where the numbers are.
Right.
Like you can't even see the 20 anymore. You can't even see the 40 anymore. This was sharp and bright and easy to just know where the ball was. And then I realized, no, but it's still on artificial turf. And I hope a kid doesn't blow his ACL. while he's running on this field. But man, it does. Okay. It looks great.
Do you know why that happens more on turf than on grass?
I don't know. Is it the do the cleats catch the rubber? I don't know.
I mean I understood the old artificial turf that was just pretty much a green plastic thing over concrete.
Exactly. That was nasty.
I mean, it was almost like painting concrete green. I understand why all the injuries happen from that. But I've played on brand new turf with the, you know, with the crushed up tire or crushed up the rubber part of a
shoe.
Gives
you the cushion? Yeah.
Yeah, I've played on that before and I've never, I don't know, I've never had any issues with it.
Yeah. And by the way, here's the thing.
Knock on wood, because I know I'll be playing on it again sometime.
If it happened every game all the time, you make, but if, just because it happens once or twice to key players, it's not an epidemic. It's not. I don't think it's a major, major issue. Like, yeah, it. When you see Odell Beckham Jr. twist his ACL, or bust his ACL in the in a non-contact fall at the Super Bowl, you go, okay, yeah. And same thing with Aaron Rodgers, right?
But isn't
the turf allowed you to get hurt more?
But was that the turf, or was that, you know, because it was a loose part of turf?
Right, a loose part of turf.
And like
right?
Aaron Rodgers, I think that would have happened on grass.
I do too.
It didn't look like it was because of the turf that his Achilles popped. It was because there was a 300-pound guy sitting on his back, and he put his leg down to keep driving forward, and body went, you can't do this, you're 40.
The guy that was doing the game with me Friday, he was saying that the school we cover and another school in the district, they're proposing spending money on artificial turf. And it's like, yeah, because how much money do they spend watering and growing and maintaining the fields? Like, look, you're going to pay X amount here, so you won't have to pay X amount for 25 years, right? It's like, I'm not screaming to the high heavens about artificial grass in some capacity. So.
No, I think, yeah. It's going to be the wave.
Yeah. Somebody also hit me up on Twitter. I think I could find this answer on Google, but when they ice hockey, is that a in hockey, do they paint the like logo on the board and then the ice goes over that? Are they painting it on the ice? Like where how does that work?
Like it's actually a fantastic question.
Are they painting the Boston Bruins logo? Oh, better yet, the Blackhawks logo, which is a complexity of colors.
You know
are
what?
They doing that every single game?
Next time we have Dennis Bernstein on,
we should ask him. How does that work?
That's got to be the first question.
And I went to a ton of Avalanche games when I was in Colorado. I never asked this question. I'm like, how does that look so sharp every game? Are you just maintaining it on a whiteboard and then the ice goes on top of the whiteboard? You're not actually painting the ice. That doesn't make sense. You're not actually doing that. So you're not doing that.
Or maybe you are, because are you thawing all that ice?
So are you thawing the ice and then repainting it every time? Yeah. See, listen, I know it sounds small, but it's the little things that make me curious and keeps me alive.
That's a lot of water.
It is. Dumb of the Day coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's get back to the good, the bad, and the dumb, and let's get right back to the dumb of the day.
Dumb of the day. You mentioned it earlier in the show. I'm going back and revisiting it. And it's the fact that quarterbacks are reaching out to the Jets, and the Jets are saying no.
Well, that's a great point.
I can't think of anything else because, right. I mean, you know, it's I don't know. Albeit it's Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz. I mean, they're kind of washed up, but the fact that the Jets just aren't looking anywhere else or not. I mean,
there's some reasons behind that I want to get to. Can we play the Robert Saleh cut that we didn't finish because we ran out of time?
Of course.
Let's play the Robert Saleh cut where he says Zach Wilson remain the starting quarterback.
Has Zach shown you enough to keep him as the starter going
forward? Yeah, he's fine.
At what point do you just decide maybe, you know, you don't want to let the season get away from you? So do you continue to go, like if it continues to go in this bad direction?
We're still early in the season. You know, we knew that even with Aaron at quarterback, we knew that there was going to be some hiccups along the way because of the new offense, new play caller, new O-line, new just new players all over the offense side of the ball, and now you've got this curveball that was sent to us, and so there's, you know, they're acclimating, and they're going to get better, and but it's still very early in the season.
What? I'm going to be honest with you. I can't think of a worse answer. Did he just say that he thought Aaron Rodgers, because of a new offense of new players, would have hiccups at this time of the year?
Yeah.
Did he admit that I would not have coached up this football team the entire offseason and all of training camp and three preseason games so that by week number four, going into week number four against Kansas City next weekend, we would still be talking about hiccups with Aaron Rodgers?
There was going to be, I mean, you know, Aaron does can't do everything.
Are you kidding me? Listen. All right, first of all, here's the thing. Sal isn't, I'm gonna give him a pass for the answer in the press conference, because as we've said before, unless he has an answer, he can't make a statement, right? So you can't get to the podium. So right now, looking it up, Tim Boyle is the backup quarterback for the Jets, which to me, I'm just guessing, is the equivalent of having Zach Wilson as your quarterback. Otherwise, Tim Boyle would be starting. He cannot go to the podium after a game and say, we are screwed, we need to find somebody, and we better go find somebody by Monday.
Is there anyone in the stands that could throw a ball?
So if you were looking for Robert Saleh to get on the podium and say, yeah, no, we're done. We don't have anybody that can play quarterback, and we don't know what we're going to do. We're probably going to audition guys midweek. We'll see if we can fly some guys in, and maybe, just maybe, we'll be ready by... What does that say to everybody in the locker room? Doesn't matter what side of the ball you play.
Yeah.
So you need to say to the public, we've got our quarterback. Now, behind the scenes, you can say whatever you want, and you can talk to Joe Douglas about anything you want, but you cannot tell the public after the game that you have no idea where your quarterback situation is going to be on Sunday against the Chiefs. You have to say, look, it's Zach Wilson. You may not like it, but it's Zach Wilson, because you don't have another answer.
Now, do you privately work someone out? Or
that's what you say. No, you don't even have to privately work anybody out.
Because
I swear,
as soon as you bring in one person, as soon as you bring in, like, say, Marcus Mariota, that was the name you and I talked about. I was like, you know, why not go after him? Yeah, I mean, he's better than Zach at this point.
But what you have to do, what you have to do is you have to say, before we do any of this, before we make one phone call working anybody out or talking to anybody, can we afford it? This is a salary cap league, and we just asked the starting quarterback to shave off $35 million so we could afford other players on this football team. Can we afford it? Is somebody going to come in and play for peanuts? No, and if they're playing for peanuts, we don't want them, because we've got a guy on the staff that'll play for peanuts. It's going to cost us $3-4 million to bring in a guy this year. Can we afford it? If we can't, what are we going to do about it? So we can't bring in anybody. We cannot bring anybody in unless we have an agreement with that player and his agent that this is the only amount we can pay you if you indeed want to play here. So it's beneficial for you to play here. It's beneficial for us. But if you think we're going to work you out, like you, and then you come back with a $10-12 million demand, we can't afford it. So that's what the Jets have to figure out. What can they afford to pay, where they're pretty tight on the cap already, and who are they going to have to get rid of to make room on this roster for this individual, and how much are they going to pay him? So it's I know it sounds easy, but if you're Matt Ryan, are you getting out of a broadcast booth contract to go play 1 year for the Jets for $2 million? When you're a broken down, I just got my butt kicked in Indianapolis last season, and the offensive line for the Jets is terrible, am I going to go through that again? Right? That's the question you have to ask.
All right, then the other question would be how long of a leash do you have for Zach Wilson on Sunday?
That's the problem, right? Because Zach Wilson can't win you football games. That's it. It's over. You cannot do it.
I mean, do you start Tim Boyle?
You're going
to
have to
go. I mean, not start him the game, but bring him in, say, at the half. If Zach Wilson hasn't even moved the ball, and, you know, they pretty much look like what Justin Fields was doing against the Chiefs this past Sunday. If he has that same type of game and, you know, just can't do anything, you got to bring Tim Boyle in and go, okay, enough's enough. I mean, there's, you know, 52 other guys who actually do want to win, and Zach Wilson just can't get it there for us.
And people are saying, well, the offense, Nathaniel Hackett needs to change the offense. This is Aaron Rodgers' offense. Zach Wilson is not prepared for this offense. But I like what Jason Cole said. You don't have to tell that kid to go out there and play a game that here's the problem that Robert Saleh is facing, right? Again, I understand what he has to do on the podium. I get it. I've been there a million times. I know that you have to say flat out lies because telling the truth creates another set of dynamics that you don't want to deal with, right? So if you are the Jets and you're going, if this is the narrative that keeps coming out of people saying, well, why is he playing the offense best suited for Aaron Rodgers? Why haven't they changed the offense best suit Zach Wilson? Then why aren't you doing that? Like, why aren't you doing that? The defense is good enough to keep you in games. That was 15-10, right? That's a winnable game. That's three scoring drives and you win the game, right? So you need to put him in a position to get you those, whatever it may be. You're not asking Zach Wilson to score 37 points. That defense doesn't give up 38. So if you want to keep him as your quarterback because he gives you the best chance to win, how many points does it take to win with that defense? It's to me, the organization has done a different thing since losing Rodgers, and you're supposed to do a different thing when you lose your starting quarterback. You've got to make it easier. You've seen it time and time again, right? Sometimes, like, you lose a quarterback for the year, a backup's going to be your quarterback. You have to dumb it down a little bit. I saw it with Ben Roethlisberger. When Roethlisberger would get hurt, some of the things Ben could do, his backups couldn't do. Mason Rudolph could not do, right? A number of others that came in. That's just the way it is. It's the way they're built. Not every quarterback's the same. Aaron Rodgers had an offense built to satisfy what he does best. That's not what Zach Wilson does best. Now, what are the Jets fighting for? Well, look at the AFC right now. There's only one team that's undefeated in the AFC. That's Miami, right? That's it. We're not talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that after 3 weeks are unbeaten and superior. You can get into the playoffs still. The Cincinnati Bengals might be in some trouble with Joe Burrow's injury, right? The Ravens just lost. You're looking down the line going, Tennessee is not going to be competitive. You're looking down the line going, where are we in the wild card? Where could we be in the wild card? If they had beaten the Patriots, it certainly would have been a leg up in the division because the Patriots would have been 0-3 and you would have been 2-1. The Bills and Dolphins may fight for the top with the winner getting the wild card. That's fine. But you're talking if 3 wild cards, get 9 wins and see what happens. Your defense is good enough to keep you in these games. But if they need a quarterback, they're going to have to do it. And there's going to be guys who will do it for cheap. There'll be guys who'll be like, sure, it's a 1-year deal to revitalize my career. Sure. What about Nick Foles? What's Nick Foles doing these days?
Yeah.
Where is he? Is he still kicking around? Last time I checked, is Nick Foles like 40?
He hasn't retired, has he?
Is he? I'm going to look it up right now. Nick Foles, to see exactly where he is. He's like 34.
That's young.
Where is he? What's he doing? What team is he on now? Last year he was on the Indianapolis Colts. He doesn't appear to be on a team right now.
Nope.
Why don't you pick up the phone and call Nick Foles? Wasn't he a former Jet? No, I don't think he was a former Jet. I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking one of the McCowns was a former Jet.
Listen, I just Googled free agent quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And there's plenty for them to choose from.
Pick a guy, pay him $2 million, find a guy you can cut that's about that, and get Nick Foles or somebody else in there.
Yeah.
You're not asking him to be your star. You're not asking him to pay him $20 million a year. Hey, you want to play in the National Football League again? We got an opening. Come on in. Yeah. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. All right, so we just did the good, the bad, and the dumb and talked about some opportunities for the Jets at quarterback. So we came up with Nick Foles. Who else was it? Nick Foles. Joe Flacco still kicking around?
Joe Flacco. He hasn't officially retired.
No, right, he's officially retired. Marcus Mariota is still looking for a job.
Colt McCoy.
I like that. You said Chase Gabbers?
Chase Gabbers?
Who's Chase Gabbers?
Or Garbers? I don't know.
I don't even know who he is.
I don't even know what. I don't know.
Is he like East? Is he Easton Stick?
Like, yeah, probably.
Probably.
Chase Garbers.
So listen, don't be surprised if in the next week or two you'll see it and you'll see something. This poor kid. I want to say poor kid, honestly, but I don't feel that bad for him.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. I will be surprised if it's the and two or two.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that. I think you got to see something this week.
I do too. I think you have to start making this conversation.
That first game was an anomaly, and that really wasn't him. That was more the Bills coughing it up, doing stupid things, given the Jets that opportunity to win the game in overtime. That wasn't because Zach Wilson took over and was like, I'm the captain now. Watch me. Follow me, guys.
What one thing has he done so great in the last two? That doesn't
warrant from that game.
Conversation.
Starting from that game. Like, what has he done?
Why haven't you been in conversations with people? Again, they're tight. They're tight on money. I'm going to be honest with you. But you can make it work. You can figure out some people that you can take off and
could
go
you bring
get
like a USFL guy up. I mean, those guys will work for anything.
Yeah, that's true. But let's go back. You got to replace him with somebody better. You don't just replace him because you don't like the way he looks. You want to win. You
got to be Tony,
like you have a defense. You have a running game. You have Garrett. You have Garrett Wilson. You have elements here that a good quarterback can work with to win you games. If you replace him with Jake Luton, you've done nothing. You've just replaced one guy for another guy that's not going to work.
So what you're saying is don't go after the Randy Quaid who's like,
no, right.
I can fly.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Go get a Nick Foles, right? Go get even Marcus Mariota had some good things last year, but you gotta do things better than a guy that is going to get sacked. Cough the football up. It doesn't inspire a chance to win. I mean, Nick Foles, for crying out loud, I think would be a fantastic addition if you can afford him. And he probably could afford him. He's just got cut by the Colts. The Colts didn't want him.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get back to Deion for a second. I talked about opening the hour with Deion and the Buffaloes. So here's Deion Sanders, and this is after the game where they lost 42-6. They got their butts handed to them, and this is Deion after the game speaking on the game against Oregon.
It translates in practice. I don't say stuff just to say it for a click, you know, contrary to what some may say. But, I keep receipts. But I'm serious. I analyze and I understand what we're up against and what we have and what we need. One thing that I could say honestly and candidly, you better get me right now. This is the worst we're going to be. You better get me right now. Now, I got messengers. God bless him, though, man. He's a great coach. He did a great job. God bless him. He can take their shots. They won. I don't shoot. I don't do that. They won.
So I remember telling you guys a story years and years ago when I was covering Air Force in Colorado Springs, where Air Force went to play Tennessee, and everyone said it was open up the season. Tennessee was nationally ranked. They went to Neyland Stadium. It was a huge environment. They played an option offense, and option offenses were tough to defend against. But DeBerry and the Falcons were right in a game with Tennessee, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was like they couldn't shake them. They couldn't get up by like a number of scores. Air Force was right there with them. Well, at the end of the game, Air Force scored a touchdown, and an extra point would have tied it and sent it to overtime. Fisher DeBerry went for two. And he went for two to try to win the game right then and there. And Air Force failed on the 2-point conversion. They lost by a point. When he came on my show, when he got back, I asked him about, you know, how excited was he to be in a game like that, to play right up with Tennessee. And he said, well, I'm actually really disappointed. We went there to win. We didn't win. And, you know, you start going, yeah, but you're Air Force. You might win 6-7 games a year if you're good, if you're lucky. This is Tennessee. They're like nationally ranked. They're trying to win the SEC. But he said, no, what did we work for? What did we prepare for? That is similar to what Deion does in Colorado. Now, again, I know there are people who don't like the bravado, but what is he trying to do? He is trying to create an environment, right, where he says, we're really good. We're confident. We believe in ourselves. When we lose, we lose. But we're never going to stop believing who we could be and who we are and what we want to be. Now, that is supposed to be an attractive place to go if you're a recruit or somebody that's in the transfer portal. You want to play for a coach that's like, we are not anybody's B game. We are not anybody's C game. We want to be somebody's A game. And if it means I talk a little more, I brag a little more, I bring out a personality to bring more eyeballs to the program, that's great. If I bring 10 million viewers to a game that's ending at 2:30 in the morning East Coast time and people just want to see me, that's fine. He said something in that press conference, too, that I thought was true, right? He said, they're coaching against me. And he's right. He's right. Here's Dan Lanning before the game talking about to his Oregon players pregame about the game against the Buffaloes.
Rooted in substance, not flash. Rooted in substance. Today, we talk with our pads. You talk with your helmet, right? Every moment. The Cinderella story is over, man. Right? They're fighting for clicks. We're fighting for wins. There's a difference. Right? There's a difference. Right? This game ain't going to be played in Hollywood. It's going to be played on the grass. Right? It's going to be played on the grass.
Now, I love that. I love that part of it, too.
Me, too.
I love that part of it, too. Do you think that Dan Lanning was, when he said, they play for clicks, we play for wins, do you think he was talking about Shedeur Sanders? Do you think he was talking about Shiloh Sanders or Travis Hunter who wasn't playing?
Mm-hmm.
No, he was talking about Deion.
Yep.
He was talking about Deion.
He's not even talking about Colorado.
He's not talking about Colorado. He's talking about Deion. So Deion's right at the end of the game. He says, they were coaching against me, right? They're motivated on my part, right? That's what's happening. That's what's happening. And so... to me, what the other issue that I had with the post-game stuff was you can't have a person this polarizing. Well, polarizing, I should say. You can't have a person this out there, dramatic, hyperbolic, whatever you want to use for Deion in terms of the way he presents himself without it being polarizing. That comes with the territory. Do you know what I hated most about this weekend? When people were pointing out saying, well, if you don't like Deion, you're a racist. There are racists out there, but I think there are people who are like, no, I wouldn't want that personality in anybody. I don't want it to get outside into a political thing. I don't want it to get to a larger issue. This is just a football coach that speaks loudly, is proud of his program, and people can take their shots at that. That's kind of what we do. I think Dan Lanning had every right to say what he said at Oregon. I think he had every right to do that. People were mad at him because he had a camera in there and he was saying how we don't play for clicks, we play for wins, but he had a camera in there. That's true. But I think that's part of why we like sports, is that we frame these games into us versus them, pick a side, right? Like, very rarely do people end up watching a full game as a neutral observer. At some point, you find yourself, even if you have nothing to do with Team A or nothing to do with Team B, you tend to find yourself rooting for something. You tend to find yourself going, I really do care how this goes. I think I'm pulling for this team. I think I'm pulling for that team. And that was the appeal of the Colorado-Colorado State game, was I think 10 million people were gravitated towards it because I think some people wanted to see if Deion could pull this out and his son could pull this out in the end. And I also think there was a group of people that were like, I think I want to see this guy eat some humble pie. I think I want to see this guy be kind of humbled by the fact that he was wearing sunglasses and it's personal. And here's my mom and here's The Rock and here's Lil Wayne. And we got a concert before the game and all of that. And I think I want to see if this school, Colorado State, can go to Boulder and beat them.
Yeah.
Right. I think that was the reason that you had 10 million people watch it way late into the night on Saturday. So what happens? Now everybody's watching this weekend, right? Everybody's watching Saturday. Well, what are they going to do against Oregon? And then reality hit. Oregon's really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
And that game got out of hand quick. That score jumped up very quickly. In fact, I think for most of us, we turned it off and went to something else.
And you know what? Colorado isn't there yet. Deion is building something 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. They will be the dog everybody's going after. That's true. But it was dumb on the media's part, even if Deion was helping, it was dumb on the media's part to try to convince America that these were two equal football teams. Shame on everybody who bought into that and sold it to the American public. because anybody that was smart about how these games were being played knew Oregon was going to dominate and win this game.